Welcome to After Hours, Conversations for Music Educators, presented by AMRO Music. This is where we share ideas and work towards solutions to better serve your students. This week, Nick Averwater talks with Franklin Willis, Community Impact Director for the Country Music Association Foundation. He's been with the foundation since August of 2022, after 13 years as a music educator. And in this episode, we'll learn more about his early influences as an educator, the foundation's Music Teachers of Excellence program, and some of the ways a music program can have a positive effect on a community. Our conversation was recorded in September 2023.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to After Hours Conversations for Music Educators. I'm excited to sit down today with Mr. Franklin Willis, Community Impact Director at CMA. Franklin, it's so good to see you. How are you today?
Hey, Nick. I am doing wonderfully well. Thank you for having me as a guest. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
I am too. This is one that you and I have tried to have for a number of times now, and for whatever reason, I mean, we've had sick kids and snow days and all sorts of things, but I'm really excited to sit down with you and just hear about what's going on at CMA, what's going on with Music Teachers of Excellence, and I also want to touch base because you're such a passionate educator, and I want to share your perspective. But before we do, I would love for our listeners to get to know you a little bit. Franklin, do you mind taking us just through the abbreviated path of what brought you to where you are today? And perhaps let's give a shout out to one or two of those educators that influenced you on that journey.
Wow. Yes. I'm a product of Metro Nashville Public Schools, born and raised here in Nashville, Tennessee. I graduated from Nashville School of the Arts High School, where Mr. Michael Graham was my choir teacher. I give a lot of shout out and a lot of love to Mr. Graham, because he took me in when I auditioned. I told my dad I didn't want to play football anymore. And my mom said, well, you got to do something. What else do you like to do? And I always tell folks it was like choir. I had been singing in a church choir pretty much all my life. Shout out to Mr. Ronnie Yates, who was my choir director at church, who sparked an interest and love for music. But it wasn't until high school that I really got involved in music education in the K through 12 setting. And Mr. Graham like cultivated a environment where we could just thrive. We could learn. And so from there, I went to UTC, University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, for a couple of years. I call those my party years because not much learning was happening. But while I was there, I met Dr. Roland Carter, who took me under his wing, and I did voice lessons with him, and he let me lead the choir there at First Baptist Church, right downtown Chattanooga. And he told me, like, hey, man, you're playing around. You could really be doing some amazing things. You need to get it together. And I transferred to University of Memphis after that conversation. And it was there at University of Memphis where I met some of my great friends and people that I still work with to this day. Graduated from the University of Memphis and taught at Valentine Elementary, which is in North Memphis. It was a Title I school. And I tell people that is where I learned everything about teaching music with those children and those babies and those parents and those old school teachers who just took me in and said, hey, this is how you got to do it. And I had a longing to come back to Nashville. I wanted to teach in the city that raised me and made me. And I went to Napier Elementary, which is downtown, right out of downtown Nashville. It's also a Title I school where I was able to build community and learn just a lot. I did a after school choir there. And at that time I was in year two and I was just trying to find my way. And there was a director of music. Her name was Carol Crittenden. She came to one of my choir concerts and she came and found me at the end and she said, Franklin, I'm blown away by what you've been able to do in just this short year here. There's this school that is looking to start a middle school choir. I know you haven't taught middle school, but will you come and start this choir? And so I said, okay. And I signed up for it, not knowing what I was doing. got to the school, was in a portable teaching 40, 50, you know, seventh and eighth graders in a hot portable. And that was some of the most wonderful music making to this day that I always remember and cherish. Taking those students to festivals and getting superiors and just all of the things that we were able to do. And now fast forward several years later, I've taught collaboratively, 14 years in music education, five of them being at the middle school level and the rest of them being at the elementary music level. Elementary music is my heart. It is my love. We're building the foundation for students to learn music, but also to enjoy music and to just be music. We have an opportunity to move and sing and play instruments. And I just found such great freedom and great opportunity there. And then I took a position at the district office as an instructional coach, where I was able to shepherd and lead over 100 elementary music teachers here in Metro Nashville Public Schools. And in that role, I was able to really cultivate and grow as a leader, learning that, hey, this teacher may teach this song this way to this group of students, and this teacher may teach it a whole completely different way. But at the end of the day, students are experiencing music in an authentic and real way. And then lastly, after doing that for 3 years, the CMA Foundation was looking to add a person who was very astute in the music ed field and who had some experience with just working with the foundation. I had built a really great relationship. I was a music teacher of excellence for three times. And whenever there was an opportunity for a school choir or some type of activation with an artist, Tiffany Kearns, our executive director, would give me a call and say, "Franklin, who should we talk to? Who should we be connecting with?" And it happened. It was a great interview. And last August, I joined the CMA Foundation team as the Community Impact Director, where I manage our Music Teacher of Excellence program and then also our grants portion of making an impact, not only here in Nashville, but across the country through finding organizations who are doing such great work and needed work in the communities and making sure that students have access to music education and to music lessons and musical experiences. And so it's really a full circle moment now, what a year later in this role, being able to work with teachers across the country, learning about the needs that I see in different school districts and cities, has really shaped like my thoughts. It has strengthened what I believe to be true for me is music education is needed. And it also has affirmed the wonder working power of music and the special people that feel called to do this. I tell people all the time that music teaching, it found me. I didn't find it, but it was a calling. It was something that, you know, I took very seriously. So that's the short version. But it's been a journey of, you know, learning about myself, learning about the communities that I serve and finding ways to connect the two. Because as I grow, I want my students to grow. I want my parents that I have outreach to grow. I want everyone that is connected to what I'm doing to blossom and to grow and to be themselves and to show up authentically.
Yeah, love that. Well, your passion is, I mean, you can just feel you're passionate about how much. I mean, this is your core. And so I'm excited to unpack that. Now, before we dive into some of your experiences as an educator, too, I want to spend some time talking about the Music Teacher of Excellence program. That's something that falls under your purview while you're at the CMA Foundation. And it's such an incredible recognition that CMA does. So if you could just give us maybe a 30,000-foot overview of, you know, what this is and what CMA Foundation is trying to do with this recognition.
Yeah, so back in 2016, the CMA Foundation gathered a group of music educators here in Nashville, and they asked us, I was a part of that group. They said, what is missing in the music ed world? Like, what is something that we can do to bring value to it? And one of the things that came up was this idea of recognition of the work that music teachers are doing inside and outside of the classroom. And out of that conversation was birthed Music Teachers of Excellence. And it's a application-based program where teachers can apply to show the importance of the work that they're doing. And so now we just celebrated our 7th annual Music Teachers of Excellence, but it has grown into a national program that is doing something that, quite frankly, I hope every music teacher can experience at some point. We're showing the value and the breadth and depth of what music teachers are to school communities. And in that application, we ask a lot of questions about your professional and personal growth. How are you contributing to local and state, national music organizations? How are you continuing your education? Or how are you seeking musical and non-musical self-learning opportunities to enhance your effectiveness in the classroom? Are you volunteering at local communities or serving local organizations in your school or in your school district? Then a big portion of the application is about student learning and engagement. How are you utilizing the teaching strategies to actively engage students in learning with and from their peers? How are you creating an inclusive learning environment where students feel valued and they can experience success? And what we ask the teachers to do, a part of that application, they submit a video where our team of adjudicators get to see a glimpse of what is it like teaching in your classroom. We get to see your students. We get to see what it is that you do in that space. And when I say we, I don't have a dog in the fight, but our adjudicators do. And so then also we are asking about school and community contributions. How are you cultivating a culture of appreciation for music learning? So this is that advocacy piece, the piece that says, yes, I teach music, but when I get parents for a school community concert, it's not just a show and tell, right? It's I'm actually sharing with you the learning process. This is how we learn this song. These are the historical components. This is the culture in which it comes from. So we're truly looking for the teachers that shine in their space, that know the power of music. And we give each teacher $2,500 to their school programs and then $2,500 to their personal development. Because we know that teachers, we want them to tap back into why they decided to become a music teacher in the first place. What was that special moment? Who was that special teacher? Because now you're being that person for the young people in that community, in your school. And so it's truly turned into a program that is just so magical. It's so emotional because you get to see all of the different types of teachers that are out there and how they're making a difference in different ways. There may be a band teacher who is providing, you know, a safe space for students who are experiencing homelessness and who need an extra space to stay. You may have an elementary music teacher who started a bucket drumming club for the students who were getting put in school suspension. But she found that these students thrived when they actually were playing in an ensemble. And so they're staying after school to make that happen. Or you have the music teacher who is getting to school bright and early at 7 a.m. every morning to run choir rehearsal because that's the only time that they were given to have choir. They can't do it in their schedule. So it's things like that where we're getting to see all of these stories and all of these outcomes of what happens when students have quality music education, when they have a teacher that believes in them and someone who can see their potential and encourage them to go further and go higher. So if you go on www.cmafoundation.org and you click the Music Teacher of Excellence tab, you'll find the application. This year, we're actually doing nominations as well. So if you would like to nominate a music teacher that you know, you can also find that nomination link on our website. And then applications close March 1st, 2024.
Perfect. So yeah, for our listeners, I'd really encourage you, complete this application. It's an awesome thing that CMA Foundation does. So Franklin, kind of switching gears here a little bit, I want to just reflect back with you. I mean, you've had a rich experience as a music educator. You've had a really rich experience where you get to work with a lot of music educators, and then now in your current role, continuing to make that impact and working with educators. So you've seen a lot, you've done a lot, you've coached a lot, and so I want to dive into those experiences a little bit. And one of the things that I know that really stood out in your time as a career educator here was your ability to impact with your community. And that trend continues because you're the community impact director. And so let's go back now and talk about, you know, you're the music educator, you know, you're earlier in your career and you're learning lessons on how to connect with your community. Let's pull at that thread a little bit. You know, what did you go about doing as a young educator to help build those connections when you went into a new school?
Yeah, so it's one of the things that, you know, brings me great anxiety. I just must admit, when you're the newbie walking into a new space, because you're, at least me, I'm a three, if you do Enneagrams, and threes are the overachievers. We want to make sure everyone is pleased, but we also look for that validation from folks. So as a young teacher, I loved music, and I thought my students should just love music too because I loved it. But what I soon learned is you got to earn that. You got to earn that street cred with students. You got to earn that students being able to come into your room and be excited to come into your space. And I give a lot of credit to two teachers in particular, Miss Morgan and Miss Clariette at Valentine Elementary, who said, yes, you have it, you have the passion, but it doesn't mean anything if your students don't have it. And you can't just wish that upon them. You have to teach that. You have to breathe that. And then you also have to communicate that. And so I remember I started the choir, and I had a meeting, and maybe like five or six parents showed up. And I was like, Miss Cleary, I don't know why, you know, folks didn't show up. And she was like, well, did you send a note home? Right? While you were doing your morning duty, were you talking to parents about it? And the answer was no. I told the students about it. Right? Well, sometimes students don't get that message back to parents. And now I'm living that in real time with my kindergarten son. So I tried again, and I sent letters home. I sent emails. I asked the principal to add it to the morning announcements. I had music playing at the end of the day. And when we did that choir meeting again, I had close to 50, 60 parents there with their children. And so what that taught me at a very young age is you have to believe in the vision. You have to set the vision forth, and you have to show up and be visible while you're creating and growing your music program. And that was something that has stuck with me now. That's what, 15, 16 years later, is finding a message that not only resonates with me, but resonates with the people that I intend to impact and that I want to serve. So if that now that is music teachers, that is nonprofit organizations, that is parents, but finding that message that relates to them and that is relevant. It's not just the choir, but what type of choir is it? Are we going to be singing only classical music, or are we going to be singing music that students can relate to? Is there going to be a songwriting portion? Will students have the opportunity to create their own things? Are we shooting any music videos? We live in a time now where children, they're doing TikTok dances, they're learning all of these things. How are we incorporating the real world, the real life into our music curriculums and our classrooms? And for me, that was the sweet spot. That was the spot where I was able to build that ownership for students to enjoy their learning and also bring ideas to the table. So to me, community begins when we say, who am I serving? And what will they get out of it? It can't only benefit Franklin. It can't only benefit the music teacher. It also has to benefit the communities in which we intend to impact.
Well, Franklin, I love this so much. And I want to go a little bit deeper. And I want to hear, because I love the questions you're asking. You know, who are we serving? How are we going to connect with the community? What message are we going to use? So tell me a little bit more about the messages that you found in your teaching environment. And I know it's going to be different at every school. And, right. and there's going to be a lot of differences. But just take us through the thought process that you used to help discover the message that worked for you, you know, when you were in the classroom figuring all this out.
Yeah. So as a music teacher, especially being one that I taught at several schools, that first year was always tricky because you would hear, you know, you got big shoes to fill, or you would hear, you know, are we doing the Christmas sing-along, or are we doing the Veterans Day program? You would hear all of these like whisperings of, this is what we normally do. This is how we've always done it. And so I would use that as an opportunity to say, okay, we may have always done a Veterans Day program, but have we had local veterans in the community come and speak to the children on the program about their experience? Have we had students write poetry about what it Veterans Day may mean to them? And so it was always about, okay, I can give you what the community has always had, but how can I breathe new life and creativity into this, I'm not gonna call it an old thing, but this traditional thing that we've always done. So for me, the secret sauce is finding out, I keep going back to this, but it's so critically important. Who am I serving? Because the things that I did at Valentine Elementary in North Memphis with Miss Clariette and Miss Morgan, and the parents came out and supported, and we did all these wonderful things, that wasn't the same messaging that I used at Andrew Jackson Elementary in Hermitage, where I'm serving a different clientele of students. So finding out what is important to the community, what is important to my principal, what is it that I want? Let me say this too. I would also add, beginning with the end in mind. What do you want your children to receive by May, by June, whenever you get out of school? And then bagging into the rest of the year, right? Yeah. For me, it was probably year four that I noticed that I had students, we went and got Superior. And it was like, yeah, we got it. And then we had students that weren't even talking to each other in choir. And that broke me. That broke me. And I said, no, 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 not again. I would rather have children who enjoy community, who enjoy being around each other and can build each other up. And we get great or whatever the next level performance is. And we had so much joy singing, and that I can take this music with me beyond just this classroom, than to take a group and we just get Superior and a pat on the back. And so that was around year four, year five, and it shifted how I teach. It shifted the first day of school. The first day of school is not about procedures and policies. It's about, who are you? You know, how has music impacted you? Let me tell you how it's impacted me. Let me tell you why I signed up to be a music teacher. Let me show you my fifth grade band picture while I'm playing the trumpet. Let me show you what happens when my family gets together for a family reunion. We do this type of dance. Let me share with you my culture, my experience, in hopes that my students will share that with me. And so that is what, you know, year seven, year eight, the first couple of weeks of school, I want to learn your name, right? I want to know what type of music is on your playlist. I want to build that into my warm-ups, because then you start to see me as a human being. And I start seeing you as a person as well, not just as another number on my roster. And so as an elementary music teacher, that was something that I just absolutely loved because I had so many children in my space, but how could I personalize it and make them feel like they were the one and only? How could I make them feel like they were rock stars? How could I make them feel like music truly can save, can change, can transform their lives? And so for me, that's what it's about. For some people, it's about the X's and O's. We're going to sing in five-part harmony. It's going to be beautiful. But students may not feel a sense of identity or belonging. And I feel that you can get both. We can sing in three-part harmony, five-part harmony. We can play amazing orff arrangements. But you also can walk out of here with your head held high, feeling like you are confident and you can change the world, because that's what I believe students can do.
Absolutely. Well, there's a couple of things that you mentioned that I absolutely love. And the first one was begin with the end in mind. I mean, I hear that so frequently from experienced educators that you've got to have your definition of success, and it's got to be the right definition of success, because if it's not, then you could be setting yourself up and your students up for failure. And I love that you reference that. Hey, my definition of success 1 year was getting a one, and we did it. But I missed these other things, and the next year I gave that up because I clarified my definition of success. And I think that's such a great lesson learned, because if your true north is not pointed in the right direction, man, it's going to be a tough year, mentally and physically. So great lesson learned there. And then the other one, too, I love that you talked about when you came into a new job, you identified the non-negotiables, right? You talked about the veteran's performance, and then so often I see, a young educator come in and they miss the non-negotiable. Maybe you walk in and it's like, man, the band's going to play at Strawberry Festival, regardless of how you feel about Strawberry Fest.
Yeah.
Or they don't appreciate the history, and all of a sudden we're cleaning out trophies and throwing out old uniforms. Ooh, buddy, have I seen some landmines stepped on over old trophies and and uniforms. So I love that you made it a point to say, no, we're going to appreciate and respect the non-negotiables in the history, but what we're going to do is talk about how to expand it and relate to it with our current students, right? We're going to appreciate the legacy, but we're going to evolve it into a way that the students can relate to. And it sounds like you had a lot of success with that.
Yeah. It didn't come without failure. It didn't come without mistakes. I want to be clear. But it did come with I'm going to try this. What about this? Oh, open house, you want the students to sing, and we've only been in class for one session, and I've been given that's what always has happened, and I'm the new person here. I don't have students that I can call on. Okay, so we're going to find a song, and we're going to teach it to all the babies, and everybody who can come will show up. So I had the whole school, usually it's a grade level, but I had all the students. Whoever showed up was like, all right, all students, come on, let's sing. And so it's taking those pieces that of the puzzle that you don't quite understand, and at least putting that first puzzle piece down, and then knowing and believing that it's going to connect some type of way. But that doesn't happen if you don't know who you are. That doesn't happen if you don't have a plan. And it doesn't happen if you haven't defined what is success for you and your children. I can't stress that enough. Just because Franklin is singing in three-part harmony and playing orff instruments and dancing, that was success for Franklin. Nick might have success if students are coming in and they're sitting and they're listening, and we're finally playing steady beat. That may be success for Nick. So having this personalized understanding of what success is, and I think in music education, this is something that is prevalent. We internalize, and I've done it. We internalize what our students can do musically as our rate of how successful we are. And what prestigious venues can they perform at to dictate that I am a great music educator? When in essence,
dangerous definition right there.
Man. And I have so many colleagues and friends who I've had those conversations with that, yes, that is okay. That is cool. But that shouldn't be your defining factor of how successful you are with your children or your quality of teaching. And so it's really difficult because we are in a education landscape of what have you done for me lately? What new song, what new arrangement, what new piece? But it has to be about cultivating joy. And it has to be about cultivating identity where students are able to see themselves in our curriculum. They're able to dream about the possibilities. And the last thing I'll say is, you know, creating a space for students to be students, for students to be children, for them to mess up, right? For them to get the note wrong, for them to self-identify on things that they can make. One of the biggest things I grew and I learned to do was just start recording rehearsals, because I started to be able to see, you know, things that I could get better in. But then also students could begin to assess and say, hey, Mr. Willis, what about this? I noticed when. What if we change this? And those conversations spark ownership. And then I can remove myself and I'm just facilitating learning. I am not where the learning begins and where it stops.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Some of the words that stood out to me is, you know, tying your definition of success to things like joy and identity and dreaming. You know, that's a great definition of success, right? And what I love about it is it moves from one school to the next. Like wherever you go, you can define your success as I want to help students find joy in music. Might look different at different schools, different environments, different ages, what have you, but the definition, the root cause stays the same. So really love your definitions there, Franklin. Now, I'm watching the clock. I've got to be respectful of your time because I know you said you have another one. So this is going to be a conversation, one of many for our listeners. So don't worry, because I've got a lot more that I want to talk about with Franklin, but he's got to hop off to another conversation here. So Franklin, before we dial off, do you have any just closing thoughts or final advice you want to share with our listeners today?
Absolutely. First, I want to thank you, Nick, for having me on and, just where this conversation went. I needed it today. I needed it for my why. I needed it for continued affirmation and purpose in this work. So that's one. And then two, you know, to anyone listening who is working with children and students, I know it's hard. I know the obstacles that may present themselves through people, through programs, through policies. But you are the change agent. You can be the reason why children show up to school. You might be the only person that smiles at them, that gives them a thumbs up, that gives them a fist bump. So I just want to encourage you to continue doing the work. And I also want to encourage you to find some people that you can lean on. We all need people that we can vent to, that we can share our experience with, that can give us feedback and understand where we're coming from. It may be another music teacher at another school. It may be a classroom teacher at your school. It might be a veteran teacher. It may be someone that you looked up to. Reach back out to them and let them know how you're doing, and have those critical conversations, because I think in those conversations is where we can get that spark reignited. And the joy that we once had for teaching. And the last thing I'm going to share is go make music. Go sing somewhere. Go play something. It doesn't have to be in a professional setting. It could be at home. But go find that love for music. Go find your artist. Go to a concert. Go look on YouTube at some old clips of some of your favorite songs and find that space and cultivate some space for you to just enjoy. One of the things we do as music teachers, we teach music so much that sometimes we don't even enjoy it anymore. So who is that artist? What is that song that you love? What was that high school arrangement that you did? Go find it. And I guarantee you it will bring back a sense of like enjoyment, of relaxation, of passion that will, you know, guard you and say, wait a minute. Oh, my gosh. I remember when. And share that with your students. Share that experience with them so that they know that this is why you signed up to do this. This is why you're in music education. So those are my three things. I'm feeling so full right now off of this conversation because it's just bringing back so many rich memories with students and principals and parents. And I encourage you just to tap back into that joy.
Yeah. Well, Franklin, thank you so much for the impact that you're making. To be continued, we've got so much more to cover here, and I'm already looking forward to our next conversation together, Franklin. But in the meantime, thank you for everything that you're doing, the work you're doing through CMA Foundation, just the love and the passion that you have for music, because I can tell everywhere you go, you're a passionate advocate for music education. So thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
That's Franklin Willis, Community Impact Director for the Country Music Association Foundation, talking with Nick Averwater. You can learn more about the organization at cmafoundation.org. After Hours, Conversations for Music Educators is presented by Amro Music. This podcast is produced by Nick Averwater and Joel Hurd in Memphis, Tennessee, and you can hear many more conversations at amromusic.com/afterhours.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's episode, here are two easy and fast ways you can support the After Hours show. First, your 5-star review means a lot as it helps to boost us in the podcast rankings so that other music educators just like you can find us. Second, if you thought of someone that would enjoy this week's content and episode, hey, please share it with them so that they too can be a part of the After Hours community. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.